Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, everybody, welcome. It's 6 minutes past the top of the hour, so we won the battle. But will we win the war? That's the question. And, you know, really, the answer to it is this. It depends on if Republicans can get their messaging right, because right now they aren't. Welcome to Political Coffee, folks, because politics, especially the politics of Oregon, really does impact your life. We're going to get into it today. Now, also, by the way, some other things that we'll talk about, including at the bottom of the hour, we have an interview with Suzanne Gallagher, who is the former Republican Party chairman of Oregon. She is the director of Parents' Rights and Education. We're going to talk with her about stuff going on in Oregon schools, public schools, you may not know about, and you're probably not going to like. Also, a couple of other things that I want to get into in just a moment here. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220, or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. Now, something that I'm going to alert you to that I want to have happen next week. Yes, I know this is Freedom Friday, folks, where we celebrate liberty. We do it every day, but on Fridays it's kind of special because I give you the opportunity to call and talk about anything political you want to talk about today. One of the things that I'm going to propose to you is I'm going to try to get a hold of State Senator Brian Boquist, my friend, about his email that he sent out yesterday. And Art sent this to me earlier this morning, but I actually read it yesterday afternoon, and I was like, whoa. This email from Brian Boquist ties in the failed carbon energy tax, Senate Bill 1530, ties it in with Kate Brown having secret agreements with the communist Chinese and how that threatens our national security. We're going to ask him to expound on that because that's very interesting, especially as he says in his newsletter that he sent out, which is what this is all about. He says in his newsletter that the Chinese have two submarine cable line sites. So in other words, the Chinese are laying cable from China to Oregon for the internet. He thinks that is in fact a national security threat. And it's interesting to note that they have chosen Oregon for two sites and Kate Brown is allowing a third. Now, I find that ironic that Kate Brown would allow the communist Chinese, which are reportedly have these secret agreements, and this is part of the problem with Senate Bill 1530, is it keeps secret and hidden from us who's buying all of these carbon credits that we're going to have. Is there some kind of deal with Kate Brown that the Chinese would buy these things from us to give her money for her slush fund to buy more votes in exchange for the Chinese putting undersea cable sites, landing sites, on the Oregon coast? And yet, what I find ironic about that is that's happening, but she won't allow us to reciprocate the other way with an LNG export facility in Coos Bay, which would create jobs and a lot of revenue for America and create a cleaner environment because it would supplant the fact that the Chinese are going to, and frankly, the Japanese are going to continue building coal-fired power plants. They are. They will. Don't you find that ironic? I do. But after all, Kate Brown is a regressive totalitarian Marxist. We're going to try to talk with State Senator Brian Boqvist about all of this next week, as he'll be back in town. Now, a couple of other things quickly before I want to get into the main topic today. First off is to say that this particular segment of the show is brought to you by Diamond Royalty Rides. You know, it is a wonderful thing to be in love. Yeah, I know Valentine's Day is past us, but you know what? When you love someone, you got birthdays coming up, you've got anniversaries coming up, or maybe you're just in love. Maybe you want to pop the question. No better way to do it than to make somebody feel really special by hiring a limousine from Diamond Royalty Rides. Believe me, it makes you feel really cool. And it blesses somebody else's life. So why don't you check it out? Surprisingly affordable. Go to DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. If you have not seen it, folks, the stock market is going down again. And this has nothing to do with the blowout jobs numbers. And they were blowout jobs numbers, folks. The Labor Department of the U.S. government said today we added 273,000 new jobs last month, February. And the unemployment rate went to a 50-year low, 3.5%. They also say that the work week went up and that the average hourly earnings grew by 3% over last year. Now, that's good for you. That means you are earning more money. And you have to, because the ruling regressive totalitarian Marxists that run Oregon, including a lot of cities like Salem, keep raising your taxes, raising your cost of living. By the way, you can thank Republicans who stayed out of the legislature, stopping the raising of your cost of living. It's too bad they can't actually articulate that as a message. No, they have to be sucked into the Democrats' war of words rather than focusing on what wins the war for them. I'll get into that in a moment. But the good news is the two previous months' estimates of January, the job figures there were revised upwards from 225,000 up to 273,000. December was revised upwards from 147,000 to 184,000. Now, I'm telling you, folks, this is good news. Now, you would have thought that would have dramatically turned the stock market around. Wrong-o. Because we have this insane, and it is, insane obsession with coronavirus, folks. It's not that it isn't dangerous, and it's not that it doesn't hurt elderly people and those people with diminished immune systems, because it does. But the overhype of this thing, you still have to keep it in mind, folks. Fewer people have died in America from coronavirus than died in Nashville, Tennessee, in the tornadoes a couple of days ago. Donald Trump, by the way, the president is headed there. He will no doubt talk to the reporters on his way to Marine One. He's going to go there today, like he should be. The president said yesterday, I don't think people in America are panicking. I don't think they are either. But the stock market, folks, which is down again today, or will be opening up. The futures are down 805 points because I have it on the TV screen. I see this stuff. I track it. The future, they're looking at its impact 6 months out on American business. And that's probably true. And the sad part of it is, like Donald Trump said yesterday in his Fox town hall, this thing's going to go away. The stock market will bounce back, and it will. So don't freak out. Do take precautions. Don't unnecessarily hang out with people who are coughing. I'm serious. I got a buddy who came down with the flu a couple of days ago. Truck driver, friend of mine, lives close by, and I was with him like 2 days before. I'm not panicked because I feel just fine. And he's holed up in his house, and he's getting better. It's just the flu. It's crazy. Also, friends, if you have not seen the Babylon Bee, you need to check it out. It's a great Christian run, and it is run by Christians. It pokes fun at people in politics specifically. And you got to love this one about Pocahontas dropping out yesterday. Their headline today is that Warren returns to the tribe in shame after failing to take back land from the pale faces. And then there's another one is historians, women invented grilling to trick men into cooking. Oh, ouch. There you go. Suzanne Gallagher coming up at the bottom of the hour. Parents' rights and education. You want to stay tuned to that. You need to understand what's being taught in your public schools. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. What's your impressions about how this short session, which has now imploded, according to the Corvallis Gazette Times, it imploded yesterday with Democrats accusing Republicans, and of course this is a liberal newspaper, accusing Republicans of threatening Democratic rule because they wouldn't return to the legislature and let them roll over us and ram job-destroying, blue-collar job-destroying, rural economy-destroying legislation down our throats that won't make any difference at all, worldwide, in total, carbon emissions. Now, that's what I just told you. Is what Republicans should have been saying rather than the other stupid things they've been saying in response to what Democrats are saying. It's no wonder we don't win elections. Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning. You got like a minute and a half. Go.
Jeff. Happy Freedom Friday. Yeah, it'll be interesting how the Republicans, put their message out, because they did say, oh, we'll come back and we'll do the funding stuff. And then, as you noticed quickly, the Democrats said, nope, we're done. Bye. And the reason I believe they did that, Jeff, was because they didn't want any good things to happen as far as taking care of the financial issue that arise between sessions, like what this session was supposed to be like. So you're right. The Republicans are going to have to get a message out and keep putting that message out, because that's exactly what the Democrats are going to be doing. They're going to be lying and conniving so that they remain in power.
Well said, Art. We've got another caller on the line. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you on the other side of this two-minute break.
Good weekend, Jeff.
You too, brother. I appreciate it, and you're right on the money. How this war ends up all depends on what Republicans do between here and November. Back in a moment. 6:20. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go to Rich. This segment of the show is brought to you by Diamond Royalty Rides. You know, you really can make somebody feel being just incredibly special by picking them up in a limo, going out to dinner, or maybe, if you're a father and you have a daughter and she's, maybe having a special thing like confirmation or something like that. Well, then why don't you just rent a limousine? It's surprisingly affordable. Check it out. What a great way to make her feel special. Just go, or maybe just go spend the day with her on her birthday or something. Wouldn't that be cool? Just, you know, father-daughter kind of a thing. Rent a limousine. Diamond Royalty Rides. Check it out on the website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. We'll go to the phones. Rich, good morning. What do you have to say?
Morning. Yesterday I had to cancel my run to Bend because my grandson was in some basketball tournaments. And when I canceled it, I asked the late young, she was a young lady, I could tell by the way she answered it. I said, well, this is kind of confusing, so what happens if you have 249 people? And she said, well, that's okay. I said, well, what about 251? Oh, no, you can't do it then. And I said, so what are you going to do in the line at McDonald's or Burger King when there's 10 of you? And she said, well, that's okay.
Oh, good grief. How about In-N-Out Burger?
So, you know, basically,
the In-N-Out Burger, yeah, have you seen the lines there? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's they just don't understand that it's not necessarily a number as much as where you are at the time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, again, if people are freaking out because someone, you know, an NBA player has coronavirus and you got to cancel the entire season, Rich. I mean, come on, just because of one player. Well, all right, then why is 250 the right number? Why is 50 the right number, like Lars says?
Exactly.
I mean, so, and that's my whole point about the unconstitutionality of this stuff. It is. It's unconstitutional, in my opinion, because it's arbitrary. It's not based on any real number. Now, I realize you got to put a number somewhere, Rich, but come on.
You mean it's arbitrary like cap and tax?
Yeah, sort of. Good point. Rich, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Oh,
right,
and by the way, Rich had sent me an email earlier and said he called the governor's office yesterday, and on the voicemail he suggested shutting down Nike, Amazon, Intel, Portland Airport. Yeah, no doubt. So Steve Elzinga is a young lawyer. Speaking of the constitutionality of what Kate Brown has done here, you know, she reversed herself, said, we're going to cut all schools. We're going to shut them down. Yep. We're going to shut them down. Now, I'm waiting for a text message back from our school director at Oregon Connections Academy because we're the single largest school in the state. We're a K through 12 online public charter school. We have about 4,500 students. Over 200 employees. Every one of our teachers teaches from home. Every one of our students learns from home. Now, are we being shut down? All public schools are closing in Oregon. Now, that came out at 10 o'clock last night. Kate did it again. For some reason, I mean, she did this when she did the other declaration yesterday. Comes out at 10 o'clock at night, and then she has a press conference in the morning. I suppose she'll have a press conference today, don't you think? But here's what's interesting. Is any of this, I mean, you know, shutting down government-funded things, okay. But what about saying that the rest of us can't go to an NBA game? Or the rest of us can't go to church because of a limitation on how many people? Steve Elzinga has written this piece. It's on the OregonWatchdog.com. It's an Oregon Catalyst article. The headline is Governor Brown's four-week ban on large gatherings constitutional. And he lays out kind of the background of all of this. But then writes this. However well-intentioned this order may be, a public health emergency does not suspend constitutional rights. In fact, protecting constitutional rights is often most important in times of crisis when government evokes emergency powers. A selective ban on large gatherings may conflict with both federal and state constitutional protections for free speech and assembly, as well as exercise of religion. The size of a gathering, and this is my point, folks, the size of a gathering is often a core part of the free speech of those who have gathered, as it expresses a message of strong support for a political cause or a religious principle. And he talks about rallies like the Timber Unity rally we had recently. Whether one agrees with messages of rallies or not, they are well within our nation's rich tradition of free speech and assembly. The same is true of large gatherings for religious observance. Although courts uphold content-neutral restrictions on time, place, and manner of free speech, in many circumstances, in other words, that's you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater, example. He continues, exempting some gatherings from the order may prevent reliance on such exceptions. Preventing large rallies or church services without also preventing large school or store gatherings is a distinction based on the content of the gathering. Without being content neutral and absent further narrowing, it may be difficult to provide a constitutional justification for the governor's broad order. So in other words, saying that it's okay to have schools like she did yesterday, but you can't have church services or you can't go to Walmart, seriously, is discriminatory and unconstitutional. That's what he's saying here. It has to be neutral. So that kind of gets back to U State employees. It really does. If we're going to say, again, you can't, you're going to ban by executive order large gatherings, where do you draw the line? How many people is it? That's my whole point about all of it. What makes it unconstitutional is that it is not content neutral. The courts have ruled on this. Again, where's the ACLU? Well, there's another story about this that is in the Sacramento Bee, and it's about the whole business of the constitutionality of these things all across the world and in America. But we're different here. There are some criteria, and we'll get into that when we come back from the bottom of the hour break. The markets are going to open. It's all going to be a big bunch up. That's Steven Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, speaking live. We'll be back in a moment, friends. Don't worry.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, my friends. Great to have you with us. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. This segment of the show is brought to you by Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations. A great company, great contractor who does great work. And he's not afraid to put his faith, his personal faith, on the line because he does it in his name, Righteous Renovations. Check out the satisfied customers and the reviews and all the things that they specialize in on their website. And that's RighteousRenovations.com, Righteous Renovations. .com. All you folks on the line, just hang on for a moment because I want to finish the thought. In the Sacramento Bee story, they quote a senior policy analyst with the ACLU. This is the story about what's happening across the world but cannot happen here in America because of our Constitution. Yet, there are still broad powers that the Constitution allows for public health, right? But here's what this Jay Stanley, senior policy analyst at American Civil Liberties Union, the American communist lawyer, I mean Civil Liberties Union. The government, he writes, does have sweeping powers to combat communicable disease, but there are limits. Stanley told McClatchy News officials that there's a set of guidelines you have to follow when you're making these decisions. Listen to this. It has to be overwhelmingly in the public interest, rooted in rational, scientific ends, and done by the least intrusive means possible. There also has to be a mechanism to challenge it. Okay. Now, this is all about politics, folks. Kate Brown is all about politics, believe me. But I will tell you that I don't think what she has done with her executive order limiting and banning for 4 weeks these large gatherings, 250, what national or rational, rather, scientific data was used to come to that conclusion. Is that the least intrusive means possible? And is there a mechanism that we can challenge the governor's executive order? Well, of course there is. We've got to go to court, folks. Is it overwhelmingly in the public's interest? Well, maybe. We don't really know. Now, the precautionary principle, and I'm not dinging the governor here for trying to do something. And I'm just saying it's unconstitutional if it doesn't meet this test, if it doesn't meet the test of being content neutral. In other words, to say you can't have a concert, you can't have a political rally, you can't go to church, but you can still go to school, and that's what she did. Maybe, just maybe, the ACLU and some others were getting a little nervous. Maybe back-channel conversations. And believe me, this happens, folks. Somebody picked up the phone and called the governor, or somebody picked up the phone and called the governor's advisor and said, you know, you're really on thin ice here. And if you don't correct this, we may have to sue. Ooh, that would hurt, wouldn't it, Kate? Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Bruce, who's on the line first. Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Well, first I want to start out by thanking the Oregon Right to Life PAC for endorsing me yesterday for my race in House District 17. I appreciate that.
Congratulations.
But my statement here is, you know, we have to decide in our society as a republic, a constitutional republic, are we really free? Are we going to live with liberty? Because liberty requires a certain amount of risk for a free people. And if we do not, if we try to get rid of all risk, we're going to lock everything down and we're going to be a communist-controlled society. And I don't think we want that.
No, you're so correct. Living life is involved, I mean, risk. Just anything you do every day involves a certain amount of risk, and liberty comes with risk. So where's the line, though? I mean, if put yourself, and I mean this, Bruce, because you're running for the state legislature, so put yourself in the governor's place. Where would she draw the line? How could she come up with some response that makes sense, that's constitutional, but yet still helps, you know, keep this thing to a minimum?
Well, I think what you should have done is, I mean, there's certain people who are susceptible to this disease as far as dying from it, right? Those people should take their own precautions to make sure that they are, you know, away from the public until this thing blows over. But what you should have done is just say, you know, I recommend that, you know, we don't do these things, but I mean, to just outright ban that, she doesn't have the right to do that. People have to, in a free society, they still have to have a right to make decisions and have a certain amount of risk that they're engaged in, or we have no liberty anymore. You know, I see with the Patriot Act, I see some things that we did, you know, surveilling people and you know, tagging people as white domestic terrorists and stripping their rights away with no trial, you know, and that should not happen in America.
No, you're absolutely right. There are elements. My belief is, I hope Donald Trump vetoes the Patriot Act and makes him come back and fix those things. I think Sean Hannity had a great line the other night on television, Bruce, and it was, he thinks the Patriot Act should be amended, that it is never, can never be applied to U.S. citizens. I think that's
absolutely
a great idea. Bruce, thanks. Congratulations on your Oregon Right to Life endorsement. That's Bruce. Look, friends, this is not an easy decision for a governor to make, but it has to be content neutral, like Steve Elzinga writes about in his Oregon Catalyst piece, as to whether her executive order is constitutional or not. And it wasn't, and it still may not be. Now, before we go to our next caller, let me read you an email. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's Jeff at 1220.am. This is from our unnamed state employee. It says, apart from telling state employees to wash their hands, stay at home if they're sick, in a large state of Oregon department yesterday, employees were informed that they could work from home if they had permission from their manager, could choose to work in the evening or during the weekends if they wanted to avoid contact with larger numbers of employers, and to not get together with other employees after hours in groups or gatherings. State employees in this department were told they are to continue to work, but to make the above arrangements if needed. I think that's good. That's how it ought to be. Jairus sends me a link to his church's website. Says, yes, we are down for 4 weeks. Yikes. Go to the phones. We'll go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning. How are you, brother?
Happy Freedom Friday, Jeff.
And well, Friday no, 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 no.
Okay.
In the spirit of what's going on, I've suspended Freedom Friday.
Oh my God,
I never mentioned it.
What can I say? Well, we should all be grateful that we don't live in Ohio, because the governor of Ohio has limited the gatherings to 100 people. And he's a Republican, and I'm not faulting him. I mean, you know, it just goes to show, I mean, what you said, where do you come up with a number and all of this stuff, which is absolutely crazy. Now, I'm going to take a big hit in the shorts, because I do the visiting area vending at the state prison.
Oh, yeah.
And at Mill Creek Correctional Facility. And
nice.
So, I'm going to lose a ton of money, Jeff, because of all this, because they've canceled all the visiting, and hopefully it'll open back up soon, because I just bought a bunch of product to be able to service my machine, and now it's just going to sit there until things open back up. Today, they were supposed to have a graduation ceremony out at the Safety Academy, and they canceled the graduation. So this thing is definitely widespread, and it's definitely going to affect a lot of people in the pocketbooks.
Well, you're right, and it's going to be far-reaching. The thing that I think, Art, for you and for me, and I rely on export economy in many ways to provide income on the farm. This is going to be short-lived. For instance, I was just, as the market opened up, it hit 1300. It's back down to about 800 now, roughly. But they flashed something across the Fox Business screen, and it was in China, Art. The Foxconn factories that build iPhones and iPads in China are back operating again. They were totally shut down for a good month or so. This will pass, and it'll pass in America, and things will get back to some semblance of normal life. Yeah, we're going to take a financial hit, but that's why you should keep your debt low and have some savings, right, Art?
Well, absolutely. And if you see a black guy out on the corner with a bunch of cases of pop selling it at cost, take pity on me, because I'd rather get my, at least the money I spent on the product back, other than just lose it.
Oh, you're such a smart guy. That's Art, folks. All right, last segment coming up. We're going to have a break at 6:48.
All night long. All night long. Hey.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Rich, thanks for just wishing me to have a great weekend. I hope you do, too. And, Rich, I hope you go out and do something special for your lovely bride. And my buddy Lee, do nothing, say nothing is his email to me. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's easy. It's Jeff at 1220.am. Hey, you know what? Before I read that, I'm going to go to my friend Jake. Jake, good morning. How are you, brother? Hey, Jake, are you there? Well, for some reason, Phil, I can't hear Jake. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, while we're waiting to fix... Okay, all right. Jake left. Hey, Jake, I wish you and Tracy a marvelous Valentine's Day, friend. So Lee's email is this. So I'm amazed that a small group can make such a big stink. These groups that demand to be identified by their perverse sexual desires continue to attack the normal. Over the years, we now see how many of these behaviors are now accepted. So where are the people that stand on principle? Respect the person, hate the sin. There is a quote, and it's by Edmund Burke. Quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, unquote. Yes, that is quite correct. We have to take a stand, friends, for what you believe. It's so important. Freedom Heating and Air is a great local company that can help you stay warm this winter. And in fact, if you've got an emergency, you ought to call them because they've got an emergency team that can come out and get your heating unit, whatever it might be, up and running. Why don't you check them out on the air or on the web, rather? FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. It's all one word. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. You can depend on them. They're trustworthy. They've been in business here in Salem for 40 years. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, what say you this day?
Good morning. Yesterday, I went to Oregon Citizens Lobby and brought the paper that I've developed concerning the book, Maps of the Ancient Seeking, and the 2 points that I made in the hearings last week. The first point being that that Antarctica was mapped at a time when there was no ice on it. And
no kidding. Wow.
The second point being that the sedimentary cores that have been pulled up from the rivers of Antarctica show that Antarctica was ice-free and the rivers were freely flowing three times in history. And so I took the book along and showed people the maps and then took it also around lobbying afterwards. And when we bring a paper like that in, we make 100 copies, and then I ask people at the lobby session. We at noon we all meet, and somebody makes a presentation, and I made a presentation after Mike Newman was done making his presentation. Then I asked people to help me with the distribution of these papers, and various people took them. But there were two floors of the house side that were left, and so I started going around yesterday and didn't make it through. I'm about a quarter of the way through the distribution of the remaining ones. So if anybody wants to contact me, and we can work together next week, maybe on Monday, it'd be wonderful to work together with somebody from Oregon Citizens Lobby for that. But this is a very powerful thing, and I've been telling people as I lobby, you know, we still haven't recovered from the hoax that Bill Clinton pulled on us when he did the spotted owl thing and closed down our logging towns. And Oregon has never recovered from that hoax.
That's right. We have it. So many rural communities.
And here we are wanting to do it again. This is going to be way worse. This is going to be magnified worse than the other hoax. And it's going to affect everybody. The logging thing affected everybody, but people aren't terribly aware of it. But the thing that I've been seeing as I talk to them is that they believe that the people in there, they believe that the Republicans are the ones causing all of this. They've been indoctrinated with the idea that Republicans are the ones making Oregon bad, and that if they don't pass this, they're going to not do well by the Oregon voters or the Oregon citizens. Or actually the people of the world. They're trying to save the world.
And Rebecca, I got to let you go because we got to move on to somebody else, but that's an excellent point.
Okay.
They believe the lie that we only have so many years left to take dramatic action before the earth becomes uninhabitable, and they're brainwashing little children about that. And it's ludicrous to think that anything we can do here in Oregon, anything, is going to make any difference in the rest of the world, which isn't going to do what we're going to do. It's going to continue. These people are crazy. Let's go to Philip, who's on the line. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Philip. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to make sure. I get a card from the Oregon Sportsmen Association, Bill of Interest to Sportsmen. Is this bill ongoing? It's labeled SJR201. It banned lawmakers from walking out. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's still alive. It is. It's probably unconstitutional, first off. And secondly, it's a change in the Oregon Constitution that would remove the quorum. So it would make it easy for the majority to continue their tyrannical actions against and just roll over the rights of the minority. That's what it would do. I think it's a huge mistake. I hope they try it because they'll lose.
Right. It has to be voted on by the by
it
the
does. Yeah. Only you and I, only we the people can change the Constitution.
Okay. So it probably won't pass if it's.
What they'll do is they'll send it out to the voters and we'll vote on it in November.
Oh, okay. And depending on how they word it to the public, if they don't know what it's all about,
there you've hit on an important issue, Philip, because they get to cook the books and stack the deck because they get to write the wording for this initiative rather than the attorney general. And the courts have let them get away with that. Can you believe that?
Let's make sure everybody's aware of that because that's important for the Republicans or whoever need to be able to walk out.
You're absolutely right, Philip. And I tell you, all the businesses that are going to be destroyed, I mean, industries that will be dramatically negatively impacted by cap and trade, had better help us get the word out to vote no on a constitutional amendment that allows the tyranny to roll over the minority. Philip, thank you.
You
be blessed, all of you. Happy Valentine's Day. Make it a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.